Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We are in the midst of the NFL's legally, you can tamper as well, but legal tampering period is the official name of the period that we are in the midst of as we head towards official free agency in the NFL that begins at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Of course, the legal tampering period started yesterday at noon, and it has been a frenzy so far. Triple H, say ESPN, how do you feel about your team? Is it a big winner or a big loser so far in free agency? We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment, but first, let's update some championship college basketball.
That's right, I'm Aaron Goldhammer sitting here at the Amber and Ian ESPN update desk where we have 12 seconds to go in the CAA championship game, and Stony Brook and Charleston are tied at 73 with officials looking at something on a monitor. I don't know exactly what it is, Amber, that they are looking at. There have been two tickets punched to the big dance already. Oakland beats Milwaukee in the Barbasol Horizon League Championship. I think Amber called this the Barbasol Championship earlier, yeah. So I like the way she said that. And I'll go ahead and use the sponsor as well. 83-76, Oakland gets the win over Milwaukee, and so Oakland of the state of Michigan will be in your bracket on their way to the NCAA tournament, and congratulations to the Wagner Seawolves. I'm just guessing that that's their nickname. I really don't know. Congratulations to Wagner as they beat Merrimack 54-47. They win the Northeast Conference Tournament, and they are on the way to the NCAA Tournament. That Stony Brook-Charleston game is now on its way to overtime, Amber, wow, for a bid in the big dance.
It is the Wagner Seahawks, by the way, headed to the tournament.
Sorry,
we will keep you updated on Stony Brook Charleston now in overtime in the CAA championship. But we are talking NFL free agency. 888-SAY-ESPN. Devin is kind enough to call us from Minnesota. Devin, is your team a big winner or loser so far?
Well, hey, I'm a big Steelers fan, and I appreciate you guys taking my call. Love listening to the show. I'm so happy with the last couple of days so far. I think the Russell Wilson signing was nothing but upside. I mean, basically getting the guy for free and bringing all – he's such a cerebral quarterback that I think will be a really good fit. That Patrick Queen signing, I mean, that's if it's a Steelers signing, he just fits the culture. He'll bolster the defense. I'm excited so far. And hopefully they can pick up a receiver, maybe a lineman or two as well, but – it's a good thing so far.
Appreciate the call. I think Russ stinks, Amber, so I don't know that I love that signing. But, I mean, Kenny Pickett does too, so welcome to the club. And I think Patrick Queen just was born to be either a Raven or a Steeler. So he goes from the Ravens to the Steelers, and I agree that that was a really good signing. And I think look, they're the Steelers. They're going to win 9-10 games every year no matter what. I just don't know that Russ puts them – with the Bengals, Ravens, Browns. I still think Pittsburgh is the fourth best team and might be a 10-win team in that division.
I said the only way that this goes wrong is if Mike Tomlin has his first losing season ever with Russell Wilson. Like, that's the one thing that Russell Wilson cannot do is be the reason, right, that they have their first losing record under Mike Tomlin. And I don't think that's going to happen. I actually tend to agree with that caller. I'm a little bit higher on Russell Wilson than you are. Now, I don't think he's Seattle Seahawks Russell Wilson, prime Russell Wilson anymore. But all he has to do is throw, what, more than 6 touchdown passes, which I think is what Kenny Pickett threw last season. I mean, Russell Wilson can do that in his sleep. So even if you think that he stinks, and I would not, I don't think he stinks. I think he's fine, frankly. Again, I don't think he's Super Bowl MVP Russell Wilson anymore, but whatever. He was fine this past season. But even if you think he stinks less statistically than Kenny Pickett. And that team is still a postseason team with a quarterback who truly stinks. So now they've got a guy who stinks less either way. I think that's a huge signing. They only paid $1.2 million for Russell Wilson, a dude who has won a Super Bowl and been to a couple of them and has a Super Bowl MVP and all the Pro Bowls and everything else that Russell Wilson has done in his career. He only has to be a shadow of himself, frankly, to put that Steelers team into a position to be somewhat of a competitor.
You know who doesn't stink is the Oakland team from Michigan that won the Barbasol Horizon League championship and then got into the shower afterwards after did their shaving. So they, of course, do not stink.
They do not stink. Well done there by you. All right. Marcus is calling us from Florida. Marcus, thanks for the call. Is your team a winner or a loser?
The Las Vegas Raiders are a winner. The reason why they're winners is because by solidifying the defense and opening up Max Crosby, that D-line will be vicious. And then by re-signing the O-lineman, James, now the great pickup was Minshew. He reminds me of Kenny Stabler. He looks like a Raider. He is a Raider. You put lightning in the bottle, I won't be surprised that Minshew will take the Raiders far, and nobody will even think about that can happen but me.
Well, he's way more positive about the Raiders than you were, Goldhammer, because you did not like the Gardner Minshew pickup.
I mean, I don't... Gardner Minshew is Kenny Stabler? Okay. Gardner Minshew is
Minshew's good, though. He's solid.
No, he's not. Amber, get out of here. No, he's not.
Great backup.
Do you want Gardner Minshew to be your quarterback? Here, I'll trade you. Tua for Gardner Minshew. You want to?
No. No, thank you. No. No, but I'll take Gardner Minshew backing up Tua any day of the week. I mean, that I would take.
He's like, you know who Gardner Minshew is? He's poor man's Brett Favre. He's reckless. He's a swashbuckler. He doesn't make nearly the plays that Brett Favre makes, but he thinks he's as good as Brett Favre. Just ask him. And I think he's just good enough to get your team like 7 wins, which is right around where I think the Raiders will be stuck. And I don't think they're anywhere close to what the Chiefs have been and are going to be and where the Chargers are.
I do think the Christian Wilkins signing is better than Goldhammer gives it credit for. I also think that he'll be a very good fit there. There's something that feels very Raidersy about him. Jamie is calling us from Illinois at 888-SAY-ESPN. Jamie, thanks for the call. Is your team a winner or a loser?
I'm a Cowboys fan. We are losers. Bad. I don't understand. You know, you just talked about Mahomes giving, you know, restructuring his contract. Jerry Jones is like, we're all in. Let's win. Let's win. Let's win. Why do we sign a quarterback like that? Who I think Dak is good, but we got to put more weapons around him. And with that contract, we're never going to be able to give him anything. And I was really thinking we were going to get a bell cow back to run, and we didn't do anything. And we need help at linebacker as well.
I just think teams that spend a lot in free agency, normally they aren't the teams that you're looking at in November when you look at the playoff race. And I get Cowboy fans' frustration. I would be surprised if, you know, this is just the first 2 days, Amber, so they could still swing a big trade and all of a sudden win all their fans back. And they were also going to be in a year where they've got to draft well. You know, they have an expensive quarterback. And if I'm them, rather than signing Derrick Henry, I'd rather draft Blake Corum, you know, in the draft to be my bell cow. When Zeke, you know, had a great rookie season, I think they could find a running back behind that line that could be that effective. So I wouldn't be so distraught if I was a Cowboy fan.
Yeah, that's fair. I understand why Cowboys fans, they were the only team in the NFL that didn't make any moves yesterday at all whatsoever. So if you didn't see a single transaction from your team, then you feel like your team's just sitting on its hands while everybody else is trying to improve. But I do get what you're saying. And Jerry Jones, it hasn't been the Cowboys' MO to come out in free agency and be super splashy in recent years. So he said he was all in, but I think he meant more all in on trying to retain what they have. And that's let alone is no easy task for the Dallas Cowboys because of the cap situation there in Dallas, and also what you really need to pay Dak here and trying to work out an extension with them. 888-SAY-ESPN. Tim is calling us from Massachusetts. Tim, is your team a winner or a loser?
Hey, New York Giant fan, I got to thank our resident Super Bowl champion, Chris Canty, for everything that he's done. But everyone on your platform has said that they're winners, and I agree. I think the biggest part was they've now said, we have an identity. We're going to go offensive line, defensive line. We're going to build bottom out and make it happen. And the other thing that, like, again, different point, but the fact that every single coach says we have to control the line of scrimmage, we have to control the ball, we have to do this, it all points to the running back. Why we've devalued that, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know that you want to pay Saquon the big bucks. I don't have a problem with them letting him go. Letting him go to Philly, Amber, is a little concerning.
But you can't control that once you make the decision to let the man
right.
go.
That's right. And I think that the move that no one's talking about enough is them pulling off that trade for Brian Burns yesterday, because that is a legitimate, really good beast of a player. And with him on one side and Kayvon Thibodeaux on the other, I agree with the caller. I think the Giants are really building something here, and I'm interested to see what quarterback they take, because I think that has to be where they go next to try to fix their team.
Burns has had 38.5 sacks in the past 4 seasons. They lock him up with a 5-year, $150 million deal after trading for him from the Panthers. So a huge pickup there. Drew Lock? Drew Lock?
Not Drew Lock.
As a
guy you want to start.
That's a Band-Aid. 888-SAY-ESPN. Nate is calling us from D.C. Nate, is your team a winner or a loser?
They are absolutely winners, man. The Green Bay Packers, I don't think enough people are talking about it now. I know a lot of cheeseheads are crying tears, or they were mourning the loss, the losing of Aaron Jones. He is an all-time Packer and a great locker room guy and a great individual. But I think that Jacobs is younger, bigger, more physical, and he's stronger. And I think he is an absolute stud, a top five running back. And then the underrated pickup to me is getting Xavier McKinney, one of the best safeties in the NFL. And for comparison's sake, last year we had Darnell Savage. He was a 66 overall rated by PFF, and McKinney was an 86 overall rating. I think the Packers are absolute winners. And, of course, they have 11 draft picks, and Brian Gutekunst, the best general manager in NFL, is going to crush it yet again.
I agree with that Xavier McKinney signing as well. I thought that was a big move. There was a moment there where I thought safeties were the new running back because they were getting cut all over the place, and then you saw the monster money there for Xavier McKinney, but I do agree that's a good signing there for the Packers.
He's a total beast, and the best move that the Packers made this free agency is the move they actually made last free agency when they moved on from the vice president of the United States and let Jordan Love take over their team.
If you missed it earlier.
Because he is on the come. And that guy is not. So
yes, that's true. I think the future looks brighter with Jordan Love, frankly. I don't know what the future of America looks like with Aaron Rodgers. If you missed what we're talking about, Aaron Rodgers right now, apparently in strong consideration to be the running mate for Robert Kennedy Jr., for RFK Jr. there.
That's not a joke of a story. Like, it's weird to hear you say that in your voice, Amber, because it sounds official. And then you're like, wait a minute, that's a story from The Onion. And then you realize, no. That's a story from the New York Times, everybody.
Oh, Jets fans. It's funny for me because I'm a Dolphins fan. But if you're a Jets fan, it's going to be so not funny that this stuff keeps coming up. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian. Derrick Henry to the Ravens. How much better does that move make them? We'll get into that on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Goldhammer, do you have an update for us on the CAA championship? Stony Brook, Charleston, whoever wins gets in.
Well, thank you, Amber. I'm courtside here in Washington, D.C. at the CAA championships, where Charleston has taken a 79-76 lead with 24.4 seconds remaining. But it is Stony Brook ball, and all the marbles of the CAA, so to speak, Amber, are on the line here in this final possession. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, ESPN.
ESPN. We need some noise. Like, we got to have, you know, the bouncing of basketballs and ambient crowd noise behind you to make that more believable. Otherwise, excellent job.
Crowd noise.
There we go.
Is there a reason why we had the announcer guy going, crowd noise?
Why was that ever useful to have a sounder where instead of just providing crowd noise?
Where the big voice guy says the name of the noise?
Like, that's amazing.
Of course, we all know what it is. It's crowd noise. All right, Stony Brook just missed a three, as I'm back now live here with these CAA updates. And Charleston got the rebound, and it looks like Charleston. I don't want to jump the gun.
You don't want to jinx anything.
If you're a big Charleston fan, it looks like you're going to be dancing. You're going to be on the bracket as the number one seed in the CAA. Smith is going to the foul line to shoot two. He's, of course, an 87% free throw shooter.
Of course. Of course. You knew that off the top of your head. I'm proud of you. All right. So when that game goes final, it's an OT right now. When that game goes final, Aaron will tell us who is headed to the dance officially. But also dancing his way to a new team here is Derrick Henry. Now, Baltimore's rushing attack was already really difficult to stop, not just with Lamar Jackson, but with Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell and Justice Hill. And you're actually talking statistically about the best rushing team in the entire National Football League last season. That is without Derrick Henry. The Ravens had a league best 156.5 rushing yards per game. They led the NFL in rushing yards while having the joint second most rushing touchdowns in 26. That is last season with just those guys that I mentioned. Now enter Derrick Henry, who showed last season that despite the fact that he's old or ancient, at least in the world of running backs, that right. man can still produce at a high level. He rushed for 153 yards and a touchdown in 19 carries in one singular game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's the kind of production that now he can put up in Baltimore, and more importantly, Aaron, put up in Baltimore in a postseason.
Look, it's not for $100 million, but Amber, I think Derrick Henry to the Ravens is the best signing of free agency so far. They've been wandering in the running back desert in Baltimore for a long time with a committee of guys who have all been capable, and Lamar Jackson really being the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver, defensive back, coach, everything that they could possibly have. Now they really have a bona fide back to help solidify things and give them a little bit of physical presence, which I think they need in order to close out games. I thought Harry Douglas nailed this with us earlier when he joined the show and called Derrick Henry one of the best closers in the NFL. So now when the Ravens have a lead, they can salt it away without really needing to lean on Lamar as the runner as much. And I think about some of that read option game. You know, you want to have a thunder and lightning back combination. That Keaton Mitchell can fly. Lamar Jackson is tremendous at all aspects, one of the best players in the league, is the MVP. And then you've got Derrick Henry also as an option in that backfield. That, to me, is scary as you try to stop not their passing attack, as you try to stop all the funky things now that the Ravens can do when they're running the ball.
Right. And oh, by the way, they can pass the football as well. So you still have to worry about that and the weapons that they do have there, too. I think that this is a huge step for the Baltimore Ravens. And it's really the only team that I would probably have said that about with Derrick Henry joining. He's 30 years old. But again, a back that still showed at 30 years old. I mean, he had over 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns last season alone. But it's that closer thing that you and HD both alluded to that really matters here, because the Ravens have been a very good team in the regular season, and under this Monken offense, they were excellent in the regular season. And then you saw what happened in a postseason. That is the story of Baltimore, right? And you've got to go ahead and find a way for them to have success when it matters most. Derrick Henry's going to need to try to protect his body some in order to make it to the postseason there. He's got a lot of miles on him as a running back.
But he's not going to be running the ball 25 times a game anymore.
That's the thing, is they don't need him to shoulder all the load anymore. Yep. He's not the face of the Baltimore Ravens like he was with the Tennessee Titans.
And I think he is a unique specimen because he's so big and strong, Amber. I don't think he's showing signs of slowing down the way a lot of other 30-year-old running backs would be. So, you know, again, Lamar's got to prove it in the playoffs. Like, Baltimore could go 14-3 in the regular season, Amber, and be the number one seed, and we would all say the exact same thing. Lamar Jackson has to prove it in the postseason. He's got to play well in the playoffs. He's got to do it in the playoffs. But I think this is a move to heck with September. I think this is a move that on a cold Baltimore day in January could really pay big dividends for the Baltimore Ravens.
And that's why they're making this move. 2 years, $16 million. Why not? And you absolutely try to upgrade that offense even more with now that crazy dual threat back there, with Lamar Jackson being the other portion of that threat. Chris Carlin, host of Carlin versus Joe right here on ESPN Radio, thinks D. Henry still has got a lot left in the tank.
Look at his quarterback situation and look at his offensive line situation and how productive he was still able to be with all of that being the case, and double-digit touchdowns again. So maybe naive on my part, Joe, he's one of those guys that if you're going to tell me he's dead, show me the body. Like, you can tell me his career's over. We may have seen little doses of diminished production, little tiny inklings of it. I actually need to see it fully before I believe it.
Yeah, it's true. We can't just keep saying because a quarterback's a certain age or running back's a certain age because a running back's a certain age that they're washed up. Like, they actually have to be washed up. They actually have to dip in the production for it to actually matter. And Derrick Henry, although the age is there, the dip in production significantly actually is not so far. So we'll see what the Ravens can get out of this move.
Charleston wins. I think a great move. The Cougars are dancing.
Charleston is now the CAA champion. They are headed to the dance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Has been a wild free agency legal tampering period so far. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Aaron Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. The Minnesota Vikings are going to look very different in 2024. Ben Lieber, former NFL linebacker, of course, for the Vikings, the Rams and the Chargers. Vikings sideline reporter for KFAN as well. And Ben, thanks so much for your time. So Sam Darnold is now the quarterback there. The end of the Kirk Cousins era in Minnesota. Were you sad to see it and surprised to see it come to an end?
You know, as the tampering period came closer and closer, I got more at peace with the fact that we were going to lose Kirk, because there was that big $28.5 million dead cap hit that was going to happen on Wednesday, and I'm like, man, if they need to smooth that thing out, they need to get this deal done before the tampering period. And when that came to pass, basically, and we didn't have a deal announced sort of early in the tampering period, I'm like, well, he's good as gone. And then when I saw the deal, I'm like, well, good for him. it's in the best interest of the Vikings to not do a deal like that, and they need to go younger.
Ben, the Vikings signed Sam Darnold. Why Sam Darnold?
Well, it sounds like they just like his, you know, they like his ability to run KOC's offense. And, you know, there's a little bit of familiarity with where Sam's been before, and he gets to pair up with McCown, who's a former coach, who's now the Vikings quarterback coach. So they kind of get each other. And you look at the skill set, and look, unfortunately, KOC had to go through a bunch of different quarterbacks this last season. And it's pretty apparent to all of us fans that he likes a certain style and he likes certain characteristics for how his offense is run. You know, he really doesn't want a scrambling quarterback that's going to break the pocket unnecessarily and try to run around and create. He wants a quarterback that can stand there, move around the pocket, elude pressure if you have to, but ultimately get the ball down the field to JJ and Addison and all these big playmakers that they've built on offense. And I think that's something that Darnold can do.
Well, and he's certainly younger. They just got a decade younger, roughly, at that position. Ben Lieber joining us. But is Sam Darnold plan A for Minnesota? I mean, it's just a one-year deal, $10 million. Is he plan A, or is he just a space filler for now and you feel like there's more coming?
Well, you know, you hate to use these like minimizing terms, but you know, he is a Band-Aid. You know, he's that bridge quarterback, and I think where Sam's at in his career, he knows that, he gets it. I mean, I'm going to guess that he's a pretty smart individual, and he's pretty self-aware that if the Vikings are wanting to sign him, that he's going to do his best to hold on to his job. He'll do his best to mentor whoever they draft. And ultimately, his situation here with the Vikings, if he continues with the Vikings, is going to be a backup quarterback. So he should just embrace the role that he's been signed to do. You know, go out there and probably the early parts of the season, maybe halfway through the season, you know, try to play lights out and groom this young quarterback and kind of show him the way. But I don't think anybody in Vikings Nation thinks that Sam Darnold is going to be the franchise quarterback going forward.
I imagine Justin Jefferson doesn't think that, Ben, but where do you think JJ is at with, you know, this change at quarterback and where his career in the Vikings are going?
Well, I hope that he envisions himself in purple for a long time. And I do feel like he's got a little bit of leverage now. You know, he knows that somebody's going to pay for him no matter what. I mean, even if he sits out the contract negotiations this year, plays out this next year, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid by somebody. So I'm hoping that he wants to be here, and I think the Vikings, this is a situation where you got to pay him the money. You know, don't try to shortchange this guy. Don't nickel and dime this guy. Pay him what he's worth. It's going to hurt. It's going to look bad on paper. But I think personally he means so much to the identity of what the Minnesota Vikings are. And as much as I'm a defensive guy and I'd love for identity to be some star that Brian Flores is going to create, and we have this unbelievable force on defense and this one individual player, this offense and this team is run by Kevin O'Connell and it's high-powered offense. And the way JJ plays the game, he's pretty no-nonsense. He goes out there, he's not afraid to run block, he's not afraid to get his nose bloodied, he's not afraid to sacrifice his body for a catch over the middle. I think the guy has the perfect blend of toughness, charisma, star power, brand awareness. You know, he's everything that you want a guy to be to lead your franchise.
That's for certain. An absolute weapon in the NFL. Former NFL linebacker Ben Lieber and Viking sideline reporter for KFAN joining us here on Amber and Ian. Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. So the Cousins news, the Sam Darnold news, probably the biggest news so far of this legal tampering period. But the other big news was Aaron Jones. He crosses enemy lines. He comes to you guys essentially after Green Bay got rid of him in a surprising move. Only takes one day, though, for him to find a new job with Minnesota. 29 years old. How big of a signing is Aaron Jones, do you think, for the Vikings?
Well, you know, health is key, right? I mean, that's his biggest thing is, you know, it's the last couple of years hasn't been the most healthy, although 2 years ago he played a full season and was really, really productive. And I think what you're looking for with the Vikings is hopefully he can bring some of that third down mentality. I mean, he's a true third down back. And, you know, 2 years ago, again, when I referenced the full season he played, he had over 50 catches. And you look at that same year, that exact same year with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, in KOC's first season, both of them collectively only had 54 receptions. So he's basically matched the production of two running backs in this system, and hopefully he can bring that toughness, his ability to slash through the middle. He always gave us problems. I know a lot of teams didn't want to see him when he's feeling good and feeling healthy and spry. So hopefully if he brings that for this season, it's going to be a much more well-rounded offense.
Ben, we got the news. Danielle Hunter expected to go to Houston. How big of a loss is that for the Vikings?
You know, a little swap with Grenard. It's a big loss, but I agree with the Vikings when we all felt that, you know, for a guy that's 30 years old and, you know, coming off, 2 years ago, the neck injury and the neck surgery and all this stuff. And yes, he was ultra productive in Flores' defense, but I don't think that they needed to spend that much money on just the one guy. I think going out there and getting Van Ginkle to be on the other side, you kind of team up this new pair that we have on the edge. I think it's fine. I don't think it's going to be a huge loss. I really don't think with this blitzing scheme that we're going to see a big production loss with this whole defense. So I'm happy for him. He's meant a lot to this organization, and he's definitely earned another chance to go out there and be a playmaker for the Texans.
Ben, last thing, take us back. You go from the Chargers to the Vikings as an unrestricted free agent in 2006. What tipped you to Minnesota, and when did you actually make the decision?
Well, I'm going to say what most guys won't say at the time, and all the guys are talking about it right now in free agency. It was money. It was all about. It was about. It was about who was going to give me the best deal.
How dare you, Ben? You money grubber.
It was his heart.
I mean, come on. Just like all of us, you go where the bag is, baby.
You know what? When you get one opportunity to play this game and you never know if one injury is going to take you out, you go get your bag. And at that time, for me, the bag was the Minnesota Vikings. And at that time, really, it made a lot of sense because Fran Foley, unfortunately, wasn't my GM with Minnesota for very long. But he was our assistant GM with the Chargers. And so I knew him. I was kind of, quote-unquote, one of his guys. And he brought me to Minnesota, so I'm forever grateful. And unfortunately, you know, never really heard the full story, but he was let go shortly after the draft. And so he was the main reason why I got to Minnesota and got the better deal. And really it came down to Oakland at the time, Oakland and the Titans, kind of all vying for it. And the story goes, once the Titans heard what the Vikings were going to offer, they're like, no, that's too much for us. We're out. And I'm like, okay, my choice is easy. I got one team to pick from. So it was the Vikings.
Do you think it's weirder for like the Aaron Jones of the world? Obviously, it's normally all about money. But is it stranger, do you think, as a player to go inside the division or to cross enemy lines? We're seeing it with Aaron Jones. We're seeing it with like the Saquons of the world. And people are, you know, from the fan perspective, I know that it hurts fans. But do players care?
Obviously, not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of manufactured feuds with these rivalries. And, you know, look, I remember coming here to Minnesota and we get to what we call Packer Week. And all you hear from the fans and from people in the building is, you know, how much hatred we got to have towards the Packers. And this is a big game and it means more than just the wins or losses. And I'm like, I don't know, whatever, guys. I don't feel that. You know, I know it's a division game. I know it probably counts more because it's a division game, but I don't feel this vitriol that all the fans feel. And I have a lot of respect for the Packers and the way they run the organization. So I was like, whatever. I mean, if I can fake it, you know, to bring a little extra juice, I guess I'll do that for the fans. But I would say for the most part, most of the players don't care. They really don't. They, you know, unless you're getting into a Ravens or maybe the Bengals situation when they play Pittsburgh and there's, you know, fist fights and guys are getting blindsided everywhere. I think there can be a developed hate. But for the most part, these rivalries with players across, you know, division teams are just they're all fakery.
Yeah, it's a business at the end of the day, and business is business.
Yeah,
Ben Lieber, yeah, former NFL linebacker, Viking sideline reporter for KFAN. Thanks, Ben, for your time.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian with Aaron Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. We have to find out what is a big deal and what's not a big deal. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
It's Amber and Ian with Aaron Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. This, Goldhammer, if you're not aware, this is Mr. Luke Combs. That man can sing. And in this song, I don't know how familiar you are with the song, but in this song, he explains that ice cold beer never broke his heart, but football teams have. They have broken his heart. And he doubled down on that with a statement the other day because he was very upset after the Panthers got rid of Brian Burns to the Giants at the start of this NFL free agency legal tampering period. Luke Combs wrote on Twitter, "What are we doing?" with a bunch of question marks in all caps. He wrote, "No first round pick for San Francisco 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey a few years back, and now none for Burns. Are we just firebombing the whole team here or what? I usually don't comment on these kind of things, but it's just becoming slow torture at this point." So Luke Combs chiming in. James Steele, he is our producer. He chimes in as well. It's a big deal, not a big deal. James?
I just have to say, I know I'm not James, but as the resident Panthers fan, I do agree with Luke Combs. I am sad. I'm just
That is Rachel Robinson, our AP. So there you go.
Is he the one that ripped off that Tracy Chapman song?
He covered it. It was not a rip-off.
He was covered it. He didn't rip it. What are you talking about? They even performed it together at the Grammys. Rip it off. What are we talking about?
Most people think that's his song, and it's not. He's doing karaoke of Tracy Chapman.
I will say he has been very clear the whole time that that is not his song, and that the whole reason that he does that song is because his father used to play it in the car with him when he was growing up and he was a little kid. And so that song had a huge impact on him, reminds him of his father, and that's why he decided to cover that song. So there you go. I know the whole story.
Yeah, take that,
I know myself.
I mean, Amber has effectively made me feel like a total jerk. Man. Before we get into big deal, not
a
big deal.
And from a legal perspective, he's got to pay her for that, by the way, to cover it like that and make that money. So Tracy Chapman also would have made money off of Luke Combs' success with that song.
I stand
James, do you have
corrected.
A question to ask
Luke,
us?
Better than a karaoke singer. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim.
Amber stole my job. She already read the tweet. So Amber, big deal, not a big deal. Luke Combs is angry about the Carolina Panthers.
Luke Combs is a big deal. This is not a big deal because I would imagine there's a whole lot of people. Luke Combs is from North Carolina. There's a whole lot of people like Rachel Robinson, our associate producer tonight, who are Panthers fans that are also, like Luke Combs, very frustrated and fed up and upset with this Panthers organization. It has been hard to figure out what they're doing. And like Luke Combs pointed out, them letting these weapons go, trading these weapons away, and not getting much in return at all seems very bizarre for this Panthers team.
Trading multiple number ones for Bryce Young, who's 5'6", is a big deal. Luke Combs tweeting about the Panthers. You know, David Tepper already wasn't cool. Now he's just even less cool. He's the least cool billionaire at the yacht club right now because his football team is an absolute dumpster fire. But I agree with you, Amber. It is not a big deal.
My favorite part about all this, Rachel, but the Rams like offered them 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns a couple years ago, and they didn't even get one from the Giants.
I know
when they
not
actually
a one.
Traded them to New York. So
crazy.
That's not great. Sorry, very sorry. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I mean, I think we should.
You don't seem sorry, by the way. You don't actually seem sorry.
I just don't know what it's
for
like. I root for a good team. I'm sorry.
Go away, James. If I had these stories, I'd be taking over myself now.
We had talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but I think it's worth bringing up again. RFK Jr., is eyeing, among other people, Aaron Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura as his top 2024 running mate contenders. Hammer, is this a big deal or not a big deal?
I think it's a big deal because I think it just shows how disconnected Aaron Rodgers is from the rest of his teammates and the rest of reality that this even reached this point. I think it's a direct reflection of Rodgers being sick of the fact that he wasn't a part of the news cycle. Now, do I actually think Aaron Rodgers is going to run for vice president of the United States and retire? I don't know. Like, can anybody say with any definitive what Aaron Rodgers is or isn't capable of at this point? If I'm a Jet fan, I'm really not feeling good about the state of affairs. He is the distraction that he talked about at the end of the season that they need to get rid of. And if I'm New York, I'm already thinking about who the next quarterback of my team is going to be. Amber, big deal or not a big deal?
It's a big deal because Aaron Rodgers, he wants to eliminate the distractions. We got to get rid of the bull bleep or whatever it was that he said just a few months ago to try to get a championship won for the New York Jets. And then here you are with Aaron Rodgers eyeing as a strong vice president contender for RFK Jr. as a top story on ESPN.com right now. And the story goes on to discuss how they talk all the time and how they have this close relationship and how that, you know, essentially that this is something that's in consideration. It's completely adverse to the concept of let's get rid of all of the distractions and focus on New York Amber, Jets football.
Amber, you said the story said they talk all the time. Like, apparently. What do you think those conversations are like? Hang on, guys, I'm reading my playbook, but I got to step aside and talk about the future of the free
politics.
World.
Yes, I mean, that's what's so ridiculous about this, right? Like, we're not talking about a small side gig, right? It's like, this isn't even Jeopardy that we're talking about. We're actually now talking about Aaron Rodgers taking on one of the most important, or even just, I understand that it's very unlikely an independent is going to win, yada, yada, blah, 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 politics, okay? I'm not going to sound the alarms here at ESPN talking about politics. But here's the point. Even running for that sort of thing is so all-consuming, Aaron, and you have to, there's so much that you have to delve into and so many questions you have to answer and so many things that you have to be up on, of course, from an international perspective. And you're going to do that while also focusing on your playbook for the New York Jets coming off of an Achilles injury at 40 years old. Get out of here. It's just Amber. Another thing with this Aaron Rodgers that makes me feel like his career was over a couple years ago because he wasn't actually that dedicated, even though he was coming off of back-to-back MVPs.
This whole thing tickles me, but I want to ask you this question. If you're a Jet fan, you have a choice, okay? Either you go back to Zach Wilson. That's behind door number one. Behind door number two is Aaron Rodgers, who's the vice president for 6 days a week and your quarterback for 1 day a week, meaning he doesn't practice. He's not in any meetings. He's not in any game planning.
Do you have him actually
planning.
Winning? So in this scenario, he's like truly the vice president. RFK yes. Jr.'s won the presidency. Aaron yes. Rodgers is the vice president. He's in D.C. Yep. But 1 day a week, he takes the train from D.C. to New York.
And plays quarterback
and
for the
plays
Jets.
And he plays for the New York Jets. Got
on,
it.
On Friday, he's the deciding vote if there's a tie in the Senate. And on Sunday, he's under center for the New York Jets. And I think most Jet fans, if we ask Greeny, weekdays 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, he'd take Vice President Rodgers over Zach Wilson all day long.
All right, you're right. And by the way, Greeny, I don't know if he needs the promotion there, but that was solid work by you, company guy. But you're absolutely right. They still would take Aaron Rodgers over Zach Wilson. Now, I am a staunch defender of all Wilsons, right?
Every
it's become hard to do that, unfortunately, with Zach Wilson. Still holding out hope here with Russell Wilson to turn things around. But they would take the Aaron Rodgers 1 day a week over a Zach Wilson experience. However, would they take this Aaron Rodgers Achilles, but I'm out there, I'm practicing unnecessarily next to Zach Wilson every game, and every chance I get, I'm still in the headlines, even though I'm rehabbing from a major injury and not playing all season. I'm pretending like I'm playing all season. And then now I'm saying I might run for vice president. Would they take that guy over somebody else that's not named Zach Wilson? I think, frankly, the answer to that might still be yes.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.